I said thy word was found, and I did eat them. Amen. Tonight we need to consume God's word. Well, we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 20 and 21 just to get started, which is a reiteration of what we went over on Sunday. Amen. Too many people in church are dancing with God and still dancing with the devil. Amen. Haven't made a commitment to God. But tonight we want to bring out through the scriptures how when we make a stand for God and we honor God, my honoring God cannot be dependent on those that do not honor God. Amen. Salvation is a personal thing. That's why Paul told the church, I believe, in Philippians, he said, work out your own salvation. Don't just work it out any kind of way, but with fear and trembling. In other words, do it in reverence to God. Tonight, our salvation is not based on he, she, or anybody else. But when I think of how good, I say when I think about how good that God has been to me, Lord, I can't help. I say I can't help but praise the Lord. I can't help but magnify his name. Hallelujah. Amen. For how good it's been to me. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. Amen. And then we'll go further. Amen. Verse 20 read. So he hath sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, can we say that again? If the Lord be God, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you first of all for your word. Lord, we thank you for being a keeper. Lord, we thank you for being a way maker. Lord, we thank you for being a sustainer. Lord, we thank you most of all for your faithfulness. Lord, we are not here because of anything we've done. Lord, but we're here tonight because you've been faithful. So, Lord, for tonight as we stand on your word, and Lord, as we honor you, we ask you to speak. Lord, speak into our situations. Lord, speak into our trials. Lord, speak to us corporately as a church and individually and within our family structures as well. Lord, whatever it takes tonight, our hearts desire that we must be saved. And Lord, we give you permission, whatever you have to do to us. Lord, whatever, however low you have to take us. Lord, to whatever valleys you have to take us. Lord, on whatever desert situation you have to place us. Lord, for above all else, we must be saved. Now, Lord, we know that salvation comes through hearing the word of God. So I desire tonight, Lord, to speak for thy servant here. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Truly, God is good. Amen. God is good. And you know what I like about God? When God deals with each and last one of us, he won't deal with Deacon George based on what I have or have not done. But when God deals with Deacon George, his dealings with Deacon George will be based on his deeds or his works. What one of the biggest stymies or setbacks, a hindrance in church, is that many of us are beginning to take our eyes off of Jesus. Amen. And we are Peter on the water. As long as we got our eyes on Jesus, we're able to walk above our troubled waters. Once again, as long as our eyes are on Jesus, we're able to walk above our troubled waters. Amen. But then when we start looking around, it's a you're looking around. How many know it's dangerous to start looking around? And you take your eyes off of Jesus. So when we begin to look around at the winds of adversity that are blowing, when we look at all of the challenges, the Bible says immediately after Peter took his eyes off of the Master, the Savior, he began to sing. Brothers and sisters, tonight, if you ever take your eyes off of God, the only recourse is down. So we must stand on God. Amen. In the midst of whatever we're going through, we must still keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 18, says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. Why? Because the things which are seen are, they just last a little while. So stop worrying about the trouble. But when we look unto Jesus, the things that are seen are, and you know, when the translators translated the Bible, they didn't have these chapters and verses. They were letters, so they just kept writing. So when they went from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to chapter 5, there was not a break in there before. But 2 5 chapter 1 says this, just to let you know what he's talking about. He said, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, amen, we have another building. A house not made with hands, where eternal in the. So it's a continuation of the thought pattern that he had. Well, what was the thought pattern? We're not looking at the things which are seen, but we're looking at the things which are. I said we're not looking at the things which are seen, but we're looking at the things which are not seen. Amen. And as a result of us not focusing on the winds, not focusing on the adversity, not focusing on the trial, because our gaze is fixed and looking unto, can I get some help? I said our gaze, our focus is fixed and looking unto Jesus. Well, why would we look unto Jesus? Because he is the author. Author means he originated faith. The only reason we know anything about faith is because of Jesus. So he originated and authored our faith, and then he also is able to finish our faith. Amen. So it's so important tonight. Stop looking at what's happening all around. The world conditions are getting bad. They're horrible. They've gone from bad to worse. But the church's eyes fix on the Master. We're looking unto Jesus. Well, verse 21 reads, Elijah came unto all the people and he said, how long? How long halt you between what? How long are you fluctuating between believing God and not believing God? How long are you dancing between believing God and not believing God? This word halt is a Hebrew word, as we said on Sunday, which means to limp, limp, to halt, or to dance from one to the other. Halt means we're dancing from one to the other. Well, the indictment against the children of Israel at this time was that they were straddling the fence. They did not make a stand for God, and they did not make a stand for Baal, who in representation really is worship of who? The devil. So they will worship God on one moment, and then the next moment they were worshiping the devil. So Elijah tells them plain and simple, he said, how long are you going to straddle the fence? How long are you going to be dancing between God and the devil when Jesus said we cannot serve? We cannot serve. Because when you try to serve two, you will either love one and despise the other, or you'll hold to one and you will reject the other. So we cannot serve God and the devil. Well, the devil knows that God has to honor his word. So he constantly works in opposition. He constantly works in rivalry to God. Why? Trying to get us to go in between. Because he knows the scripture of God. With that being said, we'll come back to this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. The devil knows that as long as we straddle the fence, as long as we don't make a stand for God one way or the other, then he has the influence, because the word of God says, and we will read that, when we're neither cold nor hot, when we are halting between two opinions, God said he will what? Spew us out of his mouth. Verse 14 of Revelation 3 reads, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says he." Amen. Amen means that's true. Amen. It's factual. Says the amen to what? Faithful. And what kind of witness? True witness. Amen. The beginning of the creation of God. I know. Isn't it good to have a God that knows? He said, I know what you've been doing. I know how you've been living. I know thy works. He said that thou art neither cold nor you're halting between two opinions. Two thought patterns. Sometimes you're with God, then the other times you are absent of God. You're dancing between two thought patterns. Amen. And the Bible says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, sometimes we ask the question, how did I become so unstable? We're neither cold or hot. We dance with two partners. Amen. When you dance with God, when the devil taps you on your shoulder, you know how he's tapping you on the shoulder to step in? Say, no, this dance is for God and God only. You gotta make a stand. We can't keep bouncing between two. We must make a stand for God. He said, I would not run cold or hot, but because you're halting between two opinions. The devil knows that as long as we don't get on fire and convicted for God, it's easy to slide in, to step in there, and get us distracted. I would that thou art cold, I would because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. He said, I will. God said, no, when it comes to me, you have to make a stand. Amen. He said, because you have not made a stand. Because you continue to do what? Halt. Between how many opinions? Two. God said, I will spew you out of my mouth. The next verse reads, said, I. Because thou sayest, I am rich. And increase with good. And have need of. What's the focus? You're looking at the natural, and your spiritual man is desperate. We're looking at the natural. What? I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't have anything. Looking at the things which are temporal. Amen. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable. And poor and blind and naked. How can you be increased with good and have even nothing and then all of a sudden be miserable, poor, blind, and naked? There are two contrasts. There are two differences. Well, what is the difference? We focus too much on the natural. But the condition that God is describing is the spiritual. Spiritually, amen, God is saying you're not with it. Naturally, you got it together. But spiritually, you don't have it. And the Bible says a false balance is an abomination before God. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination before God. In church, God wants us to have a good balance. He said, but a just weight is his delight. We must keep God's spiritual things in proper perspective. Amen. God said, I see the house, it's all right. I see the clothes, they're fine. I see the car, the job, and the money is all right. He said, but when it comes to your spirituality, you're short. When it comes to the spiritual discernment, he said, you're poor, you're blind, you are miserable, and you are naked. Naked meaning that you're not clothed with the word of God. You're not clothed or cloaked in righteousness. Amen. So he said, I counsel thee to what? Buy of me gold that's been tried in the fire. Symbolic of purification. Amen. We cannot continue to dance between God and the devil. Amen. We must make a stand. Now let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 18 and go to verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. We must make a stand. God is not interested in us being lukewarm. He's not interested in us focusing on the natural and neglecting the spiritual. Amen. In the end, when time, as it says, shall be no more. When we go from this time to eternity, it would be based on how we live right now. And he told them, he said, I know your life. I know how you've been living. You may be representing something else on the outside, God said, but what I, can we say I know?
I know.
Come on, can we say I know?
I know.
Amen. We can put on the goody two shoes in front of the saints. But God says, I know. God says, I hear what you're saying, but beyond what you're saying, he says, I know. Tonight, we cannot continue to oscillate, to go between. We're up, we're down, we're in, we're out. We for God, we're not for God. We make a stand, we don't make a stand. Amen. As long as we're wishy-washy, as long as we are spiritually fickle, can we say spiritually fickle?
Spiritually fickle.
All right, half y'all said it. Can we say spiritually fickle?
Spiritually fickle.
A fickle-minded person cannot make up their mind. As long as we're spiritually fickle, the greatest influence is going to be the devil. As long as we're spiritually fickle, the greatest influence is going to be the devil. Verse 30 reads, and Elijah said unto all the people, come ye unto me. Well, why did he call all the people? Because earlier all the people did what? Couldn't say anything. Amen. When the rubber met the road. When they had to make a decision for God, or make a decision for Baal, who's a representation of anti-God and the devil, they didn't say a word. Amen. How many of us have compromised our faith? Because we didn't want to stand out like a sore thumb when God has been good to us. How many of us compromise? Amen. No one's wrong, but did not say a, can I get some help?
Amen.
Knew it was the wrong direction, but did not say a
word.
Amen. Halting between two opinions. So he said, okay, now, first he gave the devil his opportunity for 6 hours and he couldn't do anything. So now he said, come near unto the one and true God. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was. You know what he said? He said, we're not establishing anything new. Let us go back to the old landmarks. Amen. He said, we don't have to establish a new way to get to God. We're going to establish what God had from the beginning. So he said, let us repair the altars that were broken down. Amen? Tonight, we don't need anything new. All we need to do is go back to where we first began. Amen. Go back to where we first believed. Let's go back to where we first received the Lord, when our hearts were soft and tender. Amen. When God said, go, we said, Lord, how far? And God said, run, we said, Lord, how fast? But it seemed like some kind of way throughout the process of time, we've got to the point where God said, go, we said, why? Amen. We begin to challenge the very authority of God because we've not gone back to the old landmark. So Elijah said, before we can do anything to hear from God, you need to reestablish the altar of prayer. The broken altar always is symbolic of prayer. So if you want to be able to make a firm conviction or make a decision, you need to start. Can I get some help? You need to start praying. So before we can even ask God help, let's rebuild the altar of prayer. Amen. Let us reestablish that. So he said, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Unfortunately, today people are building altars, but it's not in the name of the Lord. We build an altar. We put strange fire on it like they did back in Moses' days and then expect God to answer. But if we're going to build an altar, if we're going to go before God in prayer, if we're going to ask anything of God, can we do it in his name? Amen? So he built it in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench round about the altar as great as will contain 2 measures of seed, and he put the wood in order. Why would he put this in there? He didn't just put the wood, you know, sometimes there's an altar, what difference does it make? Throw it in there. Because God is a God of order. The Bible says that everything be done what? Decently and you cannot come to God any kind of way. What is Elijah doing? He's reestablishing the proper steps or the proper process to come into God. He said, now let's build the altar. Then after we reestablish, broken down altar, let's get some order in how we're coming to God. Amen? So what did he do? He has the altar for prayer. But now he's putting everything in order. Sometimes our lives get out of order. You can't notice he's doing all this. He still has not yet gone to God. Because there's a process. There's a preparation that we as a people of God have to make. We can't just keep going to God any kind of way. Present God with anything. There has to be a right spiritual order. So he sets the wood in order. And then after he sets the wood in order, then he prepares the sacrifice. First, you got to have a right altar. Then you have to have everything to get the altar in place in order. Now there has to be a preparation made of the sacrifice. Too many of us are going to God any kind of way. We're giving God anything and expecting God to take it. Amen? We're going to God any kind of way and giving God anything and say, God, here, this is mine for you. Now you take it. Not in God. Amen. Malachi talks about the children of Israel or the children of Judah at that time in coming to God. He said, you give me the hall. You give me the main. You give it. Well, actually, let's go to that. I believe it's Malachi chapter 1 or 3. Let's go to that now. Come back to this real fast. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, don't leave me. I said we only got 2 or 3. I didn't have 1. Malachi chapter 3, I think. I don't know. Chapter 1 or 3. Hold on real quick. Let me get it. This is one of those ad libs that came in as we were going. So it's going to be Malachi chapter 3. I mean chapter 1, I'm sorry. Malachi chapter 1. So the first thing Elijah does is prepare the what? The altar, which is symbolic of prayer. Then after he prepares the altar, he sets things in order. Then after he sets things in order, he prepares, what am I going to give God? Amen? I get the altar ready. I put things in order. Now I make it right what I'm going to give God. Now let's go to verse 6 of Malachi chapter 1. There is a right way to go to God, and then there is a wrong way to go to God. There is a right altar, and there is a wrong altar. There is order, and then there is disorder. There is a proper sacrifice, and there is an improper sacrifice. That's called halting between two opinions. Verse 6 reads, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. This is what God asks. He said, if then I be a father, why aren't you doing it right? And if I be a master, where is my reverence? You have to come to God right. Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise. You can't give God anything. God said you despise me. And you say, wherein have we? Your life is out of order. Your altar is broken down. And you're giving God any kind of sacrifice. And you say, how have I despised thee? And if you offer God, you got to give God the right kind of sacrifice. Amen? You know, I give God what I want when I got time. I'm a busy person. I like what God told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. I believe it was in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, you know what? You ought to talk about all how busy you are and how you got to do this and how you got to do that and your wealth and health and all the rest of it. He said, don't you know if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have that? God said, I gave you power to get wealth. I gave you the ability and I made a way. You would not have it, God said, if I didn't make a way for you. But now that you have it and think you're a priest of good and have either nothing, you're despising the very source of help that I made for you. He said, you offer me the blind for sacrifice. He said, is it not? He said, it's evil when you're presenting me with any kind of sacrifice. And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not? God said, you know what? You give me anything for prayer? You're presenting this before me. He said, that's not godly. That is evil. Offer it. He said, okay, since you think you can give me anything, now let's flip the switch. Let's reverse it. He said, now offer this unto those who you consider to be somebody. The next time, you know what he's saying? He said, next time you go to work, go give your boss anything. Amen. Or the next time you have to go to somebody in the dark, give them anything. Amen. When you go to work, say, you know what? I'm going to give you what I want to give you. It won't take you long to figure out you're going to be finding somewhere else to give it, right? So what he's saying, he said, now, when it comes to your human relationships, you won't give them anything. God said, why are you giving me that which is evil? How can you have greater honor in your human relationships and giving than you have to give it to me? Amen? He said, will he be pleased with thee, or will he accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? said the Lord of hosts, and now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. Ask God to be gracious unto us. He said, this has been by your, you're not doing it according to the word of God. You decide, this is what I'm going to give God. When you know God requires our best. Can you imagine how good God has been? Kept back the death angel, blessed loved ones, blessed us. And then to repay him, we give him that which is evil. That's not, it does that seem like an imbalance? We're giving God second. We're giving God what we wouldn't give another individual. And think that that's clean when the very breath of life issues from God. Our very being is from God. God has given us so much. And in turn, we give him so little. God gives us so much. But we turn around and give him so little. He said, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Computer. Where is there even among you that will shut the doors? God said, when you deal with your everyday situation, you don't do anything for nothing. Amen? Neither do you kindle a fire on my altar. God said, you burn the fire, but there's nothing behind that. You put the fire on my altar, as we're going to get back to, we're going to get back to Elijah and the altar. See, he's going off, no, we're not off track, we're still alive. He said, right now, the altar, you don't have any concern for my altar. You don't have no care for the altar that you're putting on it. He said, do you have a sacrifice? He said, you know what you're doing? What you just did, you went out and turned on all the eyes on your stove to cook some food and then put nothing on it. He said, you doing what? You're wasting your time. This is the scenario. So you're putting fire on my altar and it's for nothing. Amen? He said, I have. You got to do it according to God's word. God said, now you're doing all of this to be seen. He said, I don't have no pleasure in that. God said, I don't have pleasure in what you're giving me. He said, you're doing it basically for nothing or to be seen of men. Said the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept. And God said, if you don't bring it right, then don't bring it at all. God said, when it comes to you, you have to make a decision. Don't dance between two thoughts. Don't dance between pleasing me and then pleasing the devil, or doing what I require and doing what you want to, what you require. He said, because if you do that, he said, I won't even have no pleasure in what you give me. And you're wasting your time. You're building the fire on the altar for nothing. Amen. From the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles in every place. Incense shall be offered. Incense, you read about the revelations of what? Prayers of the saints. We're going to pray. Do it right. Amen. Offer unto my name and a pure offering. God said, okay, can you give me that which is pure? You can't give me the halt, the blind, the lame. You know what he's saying basically is this. I've given you my best. Then you give me that which is rejected. When it comes to God, this is the scenario that he's building for them. He said, now you've given me that which is no good anyway. Because back then, it was blind. They consider it no good. If it was lame or halt, they wouldn't do anything. You can get rid. It's not like today when you just grind it up and throw it all together. You know, they didn't have a grinding machine. So he said, now, that stuff that's rejected, that you would go out that's no good and nobody wants, that's what you're giving God. Isn't that disproportionate? Isn't that wrong? God said, you give me what nobody else wants, but you think I'm supposed to be, have pleasure in that. Amen? He said, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But you have profaned it, that he say the table of the Lord is polluted. And the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Amen. You said also, behold, what a this is a spiritual condition. They said, you know what? I get worn out trying to do good for God. You know, God, can you just take what I give you? You know what I am. God never expects more than we can give. But we get to the point where we say, God, I'm just, you know, the old saying, I'm just so tired till you do what you want to do. We're always too tired until we do what we want to do. He said, they say it's a weariness unto me. And you have snuffed at me, God, I mean, you turned your nose up right in my face. I'm there and you snuffed at me, said the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, lame, and sick. Thus you brought me an offering. Should I accept this? At your hand, saith the Lord. We got to present what? A right kind of offering. But cursed be the God said that. First, we can't deceive God because God sees it at all. God said, so since you give me that which a man would receive, God said, I'm not going to bless you, but this is going to be a curse unto you because this is something that you're doing willingly and defiantly against me. So God said, curse be the deceiver that hath in his flock a what you're supposed to offer. You know, the Bible said, thou knowest, O vain man, what God doth require of you. Now you got something that you should offer me. He said, but look what you do. And sacrifice unto the Lord a is a choice. If you didn't have something better, God would take what you got. But God said, you're saving the best for you, and you give me that which nobody else wants. In approaching God's altar in prayer, in approaching and presenting ourselves before God, God said, you give me that which is corrupt, and that a man won't even take. What are we doing? We are dancing between the God and the devil. He says, for I am a great king. I'm not just a regular king, God says. If you're going to come to me, you better bring your best. Said the Lord of hosts, that my name is dreadful among the heathen. And now, ye priests, this commandment is for you. The next verse. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to God is working on trying to change our hearts. God is working on us presenting an offering that is acceptable unto him. Amen. If you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, said the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And because you think you're blessed, you think you're rich, you think you increase from good? He said, because you give me whatever everybody else thinks you got a blessing, he said, I'm going to curse your blessing. It should have been a blessing, but you're giving God anything. So God said, this is what I'm going to reverse it. Though it should be a blessing, he said, I'm going to curse the blessing. Yeah, I have cursed them. God said, you don't even realize. You don't realize that you so much you bring in little. You don't realize that you're giving your best to the man world. In the world, he said, but I've cursed your blessing. And you don't even realize. Why? Because you're offering God And you're dancing between God and the devil. He said, I cursed them already because ye do not lay it to heart. And we read the next verse and we'll go back. Behold, our corrupt. Do you get the picture of what God is saying? God said, it should be a blessing to curse that. Because you don't honor me in your heart. He said, now I'm not going to curse your blessing. Then everything you will be proud of, he said, I'm going to curse your very seed. And then to humiliate you, I'm going to spread dung in your face. What is God trying to do? He says, stop giving me anything. If you're going to give it to God, give him your best. You know what dung is? Amen. All right, God, he said, you know what? I'm going to go out there and get what the horses let out. I'm going to spit in your face. Does that help you look better? Why? Because you don't honor me. You give me anything, he said, and you're not even in your heart. In your heart, God says, you've given me that which a man would not receive. Amen. It's just like when you go to, we all go to the market. Do y'all pick out the worst of the stuff? Do you go, we go to the market, do y'all pick out stuff that got flies and maggots crawling all over? Right? Because that's crazy, right? But God is telling you, this is what you're giving me. You're giving me something that a man would not even receive. Something that should be thrown in the trash. You say, I'm going to throw it away anyway, so I'm going to give that to God. And then think you've done something. God said, I'm going to spread dung in your face, even the dung of your solemn feet, and one shall take you away with it. Let's go to the next verse. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. We should all have to say, you can't give God anything. This is what God can say. If you give me anything, he's going to curse what should be your blessing. Your seed that should be coming out of blessings, I'm going to curse it. And then to make it even worse, he said, I'm going to spread the waste in your face because you don't honor me. You're halting between two opinions. Back to verse 30. And Elijah said, come unto people, come down to me. And all people, no, not that. Keep going. We did this already. I think we're on 32. 33. 34, actually. We did this one. 34. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. You know what Elijah's saying? He said, you know, when you do it right, you don't have to worry about what anybody else is doing. God said, I'm going to bless you now. So they dumped 4 barrels of water on the first offering. Because that, remember, the false prophets couldn't even get fire with no water. God comes and says, I'm going to show you the exceeding greatness of my power to you. Yes. He said, I'm going to show you what I can do when you have everything in order. Yes. When you give me the best. He said, dump it on that first time, dump 4 barrels on it the second time, then dump 4 more barrels on it the third time. Now you can imagine everybody's around like, he's lost it, right? Something's wrong with him. But Elijah understood he was going to God the right way.
Yes.
When you go to God the right way, no matter what seems to come against you, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a. The fire came to God. So no matter what's coming against you, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a. That's why I said when the enemy comes in like a what? Flood. This water represents how the enemy is coming in with God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Will still lift up a standard against them. Amen. Fill the trench also with water. 36. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice, which is about 3 o'clock, that the lies of the prophet came near and said, this is when you got it right.
Yes.
Lord God. Amen. He wasn't calling on another God. He wasn't dancing with them, but he was old God. Somebody said, for God I live and for God I die. He said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel. Not tomorrow, not next year, God, if I'm doing it, can you do it right now? How many need God to do it for you right now? How many need a right now, God, and a right now blessing? Hallelujah. Then you got to come to God the right way. Amen. He said, that I am thy servant. He said, now I've done what you told me to do. I've done it according to thy word. Brothers and sisters, as long as we're doing it according to the word of God, you know what I'm saying? Tell the devil, dump some more water on me. Keep dumping on me. How come? I'm doing it according to his word. If you stand on God's word, if you stand on God's promises, he said God cannot deny himself, neither can he deny his word. Hallelujah. So right now, Lord, I'm standing on the promise. I don't care what's being dumped on me. I'm still standing. Hallelujah. The enemy is coming against me, but I'm still standing. Amen. He presented himself as a formidable foe, but I'm still standing. And because I'm standing on the word of God, when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against them. So he'll come in one way, but because God is fighting my battles, he's going to flee seven. What's happening? God is fighting my battle. So when you stand on God's word, you don't have anything to worry about. He told them, he said, you won't see wind and you won't see rain, but I'm going to fill your trouble with water. Hallelujah. Amen. And God said, you know what? Because I'm God, this is a light day. We almost finished. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art and that thou hast turned. God does everything in our lives to bring us back to him. Isaiah said, let the wicked forsake his ways and the righteous man his soul, and let us return back to God. He said, I'll call the pardon and he will have not just regular mercy. I don't care how far you've been. I don't care how far you stream. When you come back to God, first thing you have to do is you have to forsake your ways and your unrighteous thoughts. You know, I thought, no, you know what? When a man thinking the thing the scripture said, he knoweth it not, yet is he. And when you think how you want to do it the other way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Lord, so dear Lord, I come right there. Hallelujah. And I'm withholding nothing. Lord, all I have is on the altar. Lord, I don't understand how, and I don't understand when. Lord, but if you can just see the fire, hallelujah. That's the kind of God we stare when we stand on his word. So he said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the. God said, now I'm going to show you. He said, I'm going to show you what happened when you stand on my word. God said, not only will I answer by fire, he said, when he consumed the sacrifice, do you understand what this is? A miracle. This is a miracle. Now we know he can burn up the water. We know he can drop the water. We know he can burn up the sacrifice, but he also burned up the stones. Now you can throw stones in the fire anytime, but what God is showing them is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe the right way. Amen. Whatever happens in life, you stand for God. Amen. That's why the psalmist said, though my mother and father might forsake me. Amen. Those I love the most may forsake me. It's at that time that the Lord will take me up. When everybody else forsake you for standing for God, God said, you don't have to worry about anything, because that's the time I'm going to lift you up. But to show how great it is, when you present your prayer to God the right way, when we present ourselves before God the right way, God said, you know what? I'm going to consume everything that's in the way. Anything that's in the hindrance, God said, I will consume it. Amen? So what did he do? He consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones. This is the kind of God we serve. When God finished, wasn't nothing there. Wasn't no altar. Wasn't no stone. And then to show you how magnificent and his power was, what should have been ashes. I said, what should have been ashes? God came that up. You know what God is showing? There is no God like our God. Now come on, everybody know the reason people build stone buildings, he said, you ain't got to worry about the fire. And God said, you know what? I'm not a regular fire. I'm not a regular God, so I want to consume all. Amen? The dust, licked up the water, and everything that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they said, wait a minute, this got to be God. The mold, everything that was there as an altar, the whole sacrifice, everything is gone. No altar, no stone, no ashes, no water. Why? Because God does it when we stand on his word. When we present ourselves to God, when we don't halt between two, God honors us. And we close with Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. When we make a stand for God, God said, you know what? Anything that's on the altar when it's right, he's not going to burn it up. What should have been a curse, God said, I'll turn it into a blessing. What should have been dishonest and disgrace, God said, I'll turn it around. When you meet right in your heart,
dude,
and you give me in the what kind of way? Right. Can we say right way?
Right way.
There's a right way to come to God, and then there's a wrong way to come to God. Jesus. The wrong way is I give God anything. The right way is God, I've got to give you my best. Wrong way is I give God anything. Right way is I give God my. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. God said, I need you to serve me in sincerity and in truth. Tonight, if we all were to search ourselves, can we honestly, now I'm not saying a little bit, can we wholeheartedly say, Lord, I serve you in sincerity and in truth? When we serve God in sincerity and in truth, you don't have to worry about anything following you up. Amen. When I lay down at night, I don't have to worry about anything in this club because I'm sincere and I'm true. Amen. That's why he tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 7, not with the leaven of wickedness, malice, and deceit. Unleavened means without sin, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Once again, unleavened means there's no sin. There's nothing hindering between you and the Savior. Unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So Joshua said that if you're going to serve God, do it how? Sincerity and in truth. And put away, stop dancing between God and the devil. If you're going to serve God in sincerity and in truth, then you got to put away some things. You got to put off some things. I believe Ephesians chapter 4 and then Colossians chapter 3. Read all, well, those are the things you got to put off. Amen. I'm not going to keep you here all night, so I'm going to let you read that and tell me all. Amen. Well, we can read it then.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's something like verse 17, and then Colossians chapter 3 near the end. It tells us the things that we need to put off. And then 4:24 talks about serving God in true righteousness and true holiness, sincerity and in truth. So read Ephesians 4, and everybody know most of the beginning of it, because it talks about the Lord being one, and devil kicking out of the Spirit, but it ends with, I know 4:24 talks about how we should present ourselves before God in true holiness and true righteousness. That means sincerity and in truth, amen? And put away the gods which your father served on the other side, another flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And as you see, how can it be a bad thing to serve God? He said, if it seem evil unto you to what? Some people are challenged by trying to do the right thing before God. They interpret doing right before God as evil. He said, well, if you want to keep dancing between these two different thought patterns, choose you tomorrow, next week, next month. God said, don't be a procrastinator. It's time to do it right this day. If you want to do it, you say, well, you know, I got some things worth on now. The Bible said, what unclean thing can make itself clean? In all of our righteousness, what we do is still a filthy rag. So you can't prepare to make yourself right. So what Joshua was telling me, that kill the spirit of procrastination. Do it when? Right now. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the God which your fathers served as we stand there were on. He said, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow what was on the other side of the flood? Are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell? This is my testimony. This is our testimony. Amen. This ought to be your testimony too. Because of how good God has been.
Hallelujah.
Amen. For ways God has been. Amen. For doors that the enemy tried to close, but God opened them. Amen. For ways the devil tried to mislead us, and God stepped in and said, no, I'm a spirit of truth.
Hallelujah.
And I refuse to let them go in error. He said, in whose land you stand, but as for me and, can we say, but as for me? And my house, we will serve the Lord. Once again, but as for me and my house. Now, are you just saying this because I'm saying it? Or is this a conviction for your heart? But as for me and my house, we will. Come forth. I will no longer dance between the devil and the Lord. Well, how are you dancing? You give God anything. When we know that God requires our best. We're giving God anything. When we know that God requires our best. No longer time to choose or be indecisive. Joshua said, choose ye right now is the moment. Right now is the time.
Hallelujah.
Right now God is speaking. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but God is speaking right now. Now we can search and try ourselves and we will know. Is it well between me and the Savior? Have I given my best to Jesus when I know he requires my best? Have I offered the Lord that which is halt, that which is blind, that which is naked, that which is rejected? Have I given Jesus my best? That's a decision that we must make. Salvation is individual. Pleasing God is individual. Tonight we must make a stand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All stand, please. All of you that are able to stand, please stand. Hallelujah. Listening to the word of God, my heart is pricked because it's indicative of a time where we're living in the Laodicean dispensation. It's the will of the people. It's a time where people have their own things and their own purpose. A time when we've forgotten about God. And the message tonight is, why caught ye between two opinions? Either you're going to serve me or you're going to serve the devil. You know, the one thing I was always taught as a child, don't play with God. God is no one to play with. It's a scary thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you that are out there that know that you're struggling, and we're not going to automatically assume that you're struggling with the world, but you could be struggling with your faith. You could be struggling with your health. You could be struggling just every single day to get your prayer in. You could be struggling to read your Bible. You could be struggling with the thoughts that you're fighting in your mind. Come to the altar. The altar's open tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have a situation, nobody has to know what your situation is. But if you have a situation that you need God to fix, you need to come on up to the altar. Hallelujah. The altar is for that reason. My Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. There was a time in my life I felt I lived at the throne of grace because I needed grace in the morning. I needed grace in the afternoon. I needed God's grace in the evening. Because I was struggling. I was struggling within myself, not knowing exactly what God wanted me to do. And God was in one ear and the devil was in the other ear. And I was being tossed to and fro like a ship without a sail. And I had to call on Jesus. I had to cry out, Jesus, hallelujah, I need your help right now. I need you to fix it. And tonight, I feel like I need Jesus to fix it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to fix it tonight. Hallelujah. When you come up here, you have it in your heart that God can fix it. And when you leave from here, you leave believing that the work that God is doing is already done. Hallelujah. Lay your burdens down at the altar and leave them there. Don't pick them back up again. Don't let anybody steal your joy. Hallelujah. Don't let them steal your faith. Hallelujah. Don't let them steal your conviction. Hallelujah. Because all we have and the only hope we have is in Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's no hope without Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now, hear me.